I know exactly where I want to lead.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. We're in this day of the 26th of December, 2009, and I usually tell you a little bit about history on this day that will lead us into what we'll be talking about. But what I want to really talk about, I woke up this morning and wanted to talk to you about time. Time is a great gift of God. It allows us not to make a choice over a period of time to study, to seek, to learn, to grow. All these things require time. And we are placed in this mysterious sea of time in which we are allowed to make our choices as to go towards God or go towards the gods of the world. In the space that we are in, that would be more analogous of a sea of space. Time is more like a river. It's a flowing. There's a beginning, a middle, an end, like a river. But the only part of the river that's really important to you is the part that you're in right now. That's where the rocks are that are going to hurt you. The rocks down the way, they're not going to hurt you till you get there. The rocks that you've already passed, well, you've already passed them. But the rocks that you might hit right now are right with you right now in this moment in time. And that's where the kingdom is at for you, is in this moment of time. Now, I could probably give you prophecies about what to expect in the future and what's coming, and anyone who watches the news with a little bit of sense realizes there are some dim clouds on the horizon. Just like Jesus was talking about, you can look up in the sky and predict what the weather's going to be. And so into history and look into the events of the present time, and you can see what's coming. Obviously, economically, there are some serious problems. Geologically, meteorologically, there are changes taking place all the time in the planet for those who watch these things more closely than the average person who just sits there in front of their TV set or is just worried about the ball scores or just all caught up in making a living and taking care of their families. But we need to have a broader vision of what's coming. When winter comes, we put up firewood because we know it's going to get cold. When the summer comes, we plant seeds to grow gardens, to grow crops, to feed our animals for when winter comes again. So we have a certain perspective on the future, on time, on this time passing and what is to be expected. But really, what we need to do today, we only know to do today. It's this moment that's going to make a difference concerning the future. The Indians used to say that yesterday is ashes, tomorrow is wood, only today burns brightly. And that's a perspective of where you are at in time. And the interesting thing is somebody who evidently is a proclaimed prophet from Germany, I won't mention his name because I don't really know anything about him, he sent me an email out of the blue today. And his email was quoting the philosopher Seneca, who was living back in the days of Christ. I mean, he was born almost the same time as Christ. The he wasn't crucified. He died at 65 A.D. But he was considered a very bright and intelligent philosopher, a moral standard in a time when most leaders were becoming rather immoral and decadent. But he says, it is not little time that we have to avail of. It is much time that we do not make use of. We waste a great deal of time. We have opportunities and we sit and do nothing. We have created a network. You can join the network by going to the website, hisholychurch.info, and drop down menu under the little guy with the net. Go to locate local network. And there you'd be specifically people in Colorado or people in California. We include Nevada and California together because there's not a lot of people in Nevada. There's not a lot of active people in California. There's enough to begin with, the first threads of spinning string to make a net. Start with a single thread, and then you bring two together, and you begin to twist them together. That's one of the things we've learned over the years. We have, you know, besides our extensive knowledge of law and history, Greek and Hebrew, we also know how to spin wool and make thread out of linen and weave cloth, milk cows, take computers apart, you know, make our own medicine. We can do a great deal of those things. We have a great deal of knowledge in those things. We're learning all the time. We would like to start a retreat ground to teach people these things. And we need to man it with other men of like mind, other men and women of good character and of like mind that would help us teach others the skills they will need to know in the patience and understanding that is also required to seek the kingdom. There are so many things that we have forgotten and do not know. Besides the confusion about the Bible, there's also this tremendous lack of knowledge of basic skills to sustain life during difficult times when the machinery of society breaks down. And in America, the machinery of society includes machines, includes power and electricity and duration and all these things that we've become so dependent upon. Immediate ability of stores to restock shelves. They know that on Monday we will sell so many gallons of milk, so we've ordered to come in months of milk. But what happens if the demand suddenly increases? Suddenly you can't get milk. You can't get rice. You can't get flour. You can't get food. The reality is this extremely efficient machinery of society is actually what makes society the most vulnerable. And there's very little you can prepare for. I mean, everyone should have weeks of supplies of food in their cupboards all the time, rotating in and rotating out what you would eat during a given day, during a given week, during a given month. We actually recommend that you have several years' supply of food on hand, not only for yourself, but for your foolish sons and daughters or nieces and nephews or uncles and aunts who don't have the sense to put up a little extra food. Living rurally in the country as we do, 100 miles from town, we always stock up with a certain amount of food. We could not feed hundreds of people that came here. We could, with their labor and help, get by with maybe 5 to 10 times more people than we are now caring for. But they would have to come with sleeves rolled up, ready to work, because there's a lot of work in maintaining the health of people, especially when you don't have the machinery around. We recommend that everybody own tents. We're making yurts now. Yurts are better than just your average tent because you can actually stay warm in them, have a fire in them, cook in them. Sleep quite a few people in them. They're very wind resistant. They can be insulated rather easily to make a very warm and comfortable shelter that is more than just barely surviving. You get a cold or a flu during hard times, and you will easily die from that flu. The reality is you can see these kinds of events happening all over the world when turmoil takes place in a society and sections of the population have to move from one area to another because of difficulties there. The early Christian church dealt with this. Why do you think Paul was making tents? Because there was a big market. Just had to move out. And when Jerusalem fell, the ones who marched out of Jerusalem through the gates could take no money with them, no property with them, no extra things with them, just not even their coats. They just had to walk out the gate because the Jews weren't going to let those Christians leave with any wealth whatsoever. And if you tried to swallow a gold coin or a jewel or something, they'd cut your belly open to get it. You could take nothing. So you had to come to the gate handing out all your gold and silver to the people at the gate. And then they would let you go. And good thing, because shortly after that, the Roman army surrounding them all about came in and destroyed those people who stayed behind. But Christians knew to leave because they had been given forewarning that they were going to need to leave. And they were rather persecuted there at that point, or wall, and killed. And the Christians knew that the times and days were numbered, and they knew it was time to for this leaving long before in the ways that Christ had said. They had created a network all across the Roman Empire, all across Europe, of other Christians who were working together to care for one another. When there was need over here or need over there because there were signs of this economic breakdown coming and military breakdown or insurgents coming, they had prepared by helping one another out through a network of faith, hope, and charity under the man their own personal lifeboat and sail off into the distance where they would be safe. And, you know, maybe do some charitable work so that they would feel less guilty in their conscience. They were actually giving up everything they had daily, traveling from house to house, from city to city, setting up these networks, appointing elders. This is one of the most confused statements. They say appointing elders. So now we have churches and they have elders in the churches and they appoint them to exercise authority over the money and how the churches operate. That is not what they were doing. You were an elder because you were the eldest member of a family. That's what made you an elder. They translate the word even the old age. It means the elder of more than one group, presbyteros. That's who they appointed. It's the older men. Not just any older men, though. They did older men who were sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. That's the kind of men that they were appointing, the elders of these families, men who were experienced in raising families, husbands of one wife, good, upstanding citizens of the kingdom. They would appoint them to jobs in these congregations. 10 families picked an elder from amongst the elders, the 10 elders of that congregation. So there might be 11 families maybe represented there. And he would be the minister to 10. And this is how they operated. And that guy would get together and pick other men. And those elders they picked were the firstborn of their alternative government. And they were working, donating to the efforts of men like Paul, but Paul also working, making tents, just like we are making tents, to help sustain himself and his family, but doing so to provide a service to others, not to be a burden to them, because many of them still had to pay taxes in some of the areas because they were not free. But Christ had them arranged so that they could become free if they became a part of this government called the church, the kingdom of God, the way. And that's what they were doing. They were running a government. They weren't just running around being free. They were going around setting other men free of the, you know, most of us are ruled over by our neighbors who want benefits at our expense, who have hired government to go from house to house and take what they can and give us what they have left over. That's the way the system of the world works. But we're not to be of the world. We're to be in it, but not of it. And so, therefore, Christ set up another system whereby we could take care of one another. Now, you do not want to be in a congregation of survivalists, people who want to survive, whose motive is to survive. You want to be in a congregation of servants, people who want to care for their neighbor as much as they care for themselves. If you're in with survivalists, when you run out of food, you guys are on the menu. If you're in with servants of God, altars of clay, that when times are hard, they will share what they have so that everyone will make it through, even with short rations. They will not be hoarders of their beans and rice. They will be sharers in common. They will work with sleeves rolled up, shoulder to shoulder, like good sheep in a field. It shouldn't be just in a field, but in the fields of the world, in the deserts. Our sheep go out on many, many acres, and they'll be out there grazing shoulder to shoulder. They will line up shoulder to shoulder and graze because they are watching each other's back. They are protecting each other. Farm flocks, who are used to being fenced in, they won't do this. They are protected by the fence. They are protected by the shepherd, supposedly, only. They do not concern themselves with protecting each other. Well, we don't need farm flock sheep. We need range sheep, free sheep, sheep that will go out on the desert and survive where other sheep would become scattered and picked off one by one by coyotes and mountain lions and bobcats. That is the nature of the kingdom, to come together, willingly come together, wanting to come together, waiting for the opportunity of coming together. So if you haven't joined the network, join the network. If you haven't picked a contact minister, someone to be the leader in your line of grazing sheep of Christ, not a ruler, but willing to work together as a lead sheep. And the fact is, the lead sheep will not go out ahead of the other sheep. He's held back with them. If he goes out ahead, they will stand back and wait for him to come back because they want a lead sheep. They don't want a ruler sheep. They want to move together. And this is self-discipline, and that's what the Christian church was. So you need to stop wasting time. It will take much time to weave the net that will hold us together in hard times. It will take much time to build that trust that will be so necessary for a network of people who care about one another. And most of that's going to be learned on the job. You're going to need to work together to learn what that really means. Now, I'm also working on another book. Worked on it till late last night and for days now, whenever I get a chance, neglecting all kinds of other work that I need to do to make some money. But I think this is important. And, you know, Romans 13, let every man remain subject to the higher liberty, because all liberty is of God. There is no liberty but of God, and anyone who opposes liberty opposes God. That's what the Greek says. That is what Paul is talking about. Liberty is your original liberty, your original right to choose. And anybody who opposes that opposes God. And we show that in the pamphlet on Romans 13, the higher liberty. But we're turning that pamphlet into a book, which is 76 pages at this time. But we're still going to get arguments from people who can't believe that they're wrong, that they have been lied to, that they have been deceived, and that they think that Paul is saying be subject to government, when Paul was actually going around creating an alternative government, setting up the elders to not rule, but to serve in that alternative government, because the government of Rome was about to break down, and Christ knew this and said you needed to come together in his name, according to his character and his ways. Now, the churches would have you singing in there saying, Lord, Lord, or Jesus is my king, and all this stuff, when the reality is Obama is their king, Obama is their ruler, and when they actually need daily bread, they don't pray to God, they pray to Obama, or whoever their leader is in whatever country, because I know some of you are in Australia and New Zealand and Canada and South America. But the reality is that's where most people pray for their daily bread. If you need welfare, unemployment, Social Security, all these benefits, you pray to men who call themselves benefactors, but who actually exercise authority over your neighbor, forcing your neighbor to contribute to them so that they will have something to give to you. That makes the word of God to none effect. That is the Corbin of the Pharisees, and that we should not be doing. Now you're doing it. And I don't say stop doing it. I say turn around, start seeking another way, because that unrighteous mammon will fail. It will fail. They tell you it will fail. Their head accounting office says it's going to fail. Okay? The news media has said that it's going to fail. And it's going to fail when the economy fails. When you need it the most, they will fail and let you down. Repent, turn around, stop looking to the gods which you have chosen for yourself, and start looking to the God of heaven by doing what the God of heaven said, not those who say Lord, Lord in their churches, but those who do it the will of the Father. That means you have to become doers of the word, not just sayers alone. That means you can't just join the network by joining the network. You have to pick a contact minister. You have to start getting together with others and stop standing around with a deer in the headlight look, wondering, what should I do? Oh, I just want to get the emails. I don't want to actually get involved with anybody. Well, when you're hungry, let me know. I'll send you an email. When your family is thrown out in the cold because you don't have a job, you don't have a home, you've lost your home, which is happening to millions of people. I mean, we have somebody down in California about to lose the place where they're living. They already lost their home, and now they're going to be evicted, and they had no place to go. We would like to have a place for them to go, but we don't know who they are. We don't know if they're slothful. Maybe they should be under tribute. Maybe they should be homeless. And we have limited resources. You know, the Good Samaritan helped the Alhaga. What do you do when you have 500 guys in there? All starved to death? Make yourself known.
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, one holy nation under the heavenly Father, with grace, mercy, and justice for all.
Gold and silver are tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you? Have you seen Loose Change, the most popular documentary in the 911 truth movement? With the coming change in government, now is the time to push for justice and get this truth into the hands of millions of Americans. First Amendment Radio is offering both videos, Loose Change and 911 Justice on DVD. We will ship two copies of both videos to you for $10 cash. Yes, two copies, one for you and one for you to give away. You will see and hear Larry Silverstein admit that they decided to pull the building. Why are they not being pursued? The people must know. Justice must be had. The time is now. Two copies of both videos, Loose Change and 911 Justice, for $10 cash. No checks, please. To First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274.
I didn't get my lead-in music, I guess, because we were talking right into it, discussing these matters. But anyway, we're going to talk about Titus 3:1, which is one of the quotes that people are always throwing out to you when you mention that Romans 13 is actually saying, let everyone remain subject to the higher liberty, because that word, exousia, is actually translated liberty. It means the highest, or it is the strongest in the Greek language for liberty, or the right to choose, the liberty to choose. And so people find that, oh, that's not what my minister told me. Well, your minister's 2,000 years behind the eight ball, and he's been deceived, maybe even wants to deceive you. Maybe he's more interested in his salary than he is in the true message of Christ. I don't know. You know him better than I do. But the reality is that's what the Greek says. And nobody can argue against it. They can say, oh, I don't believe that, that's crazy, that's impossible, but the reality is that is the definition of the word. You can't pull out Koine Greek and say, oh, well, it's Koine Greek, and Koine Greek means something different, because philosophers at that time using Koine Greek said that that's what the word meant, was liberty. So it's just an entire delusion that they brought you under, and that's just one of many hundreds of delusions that have crept into our thinking over the last 2,000 years. Most of it within the last 1,000 years, and most of it that you experience within the last few hundred years. There have been numerous ministers over the years and searchers to uncover the truth. They were often immediately burned at the stake. And if they were still doing that today, I'm sure I would have already become toast myself. But the reality is, I'm here to tell you the truth, and we're here to back it up with these books and articles and radio shows. Anyway, Titus 3:1 says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Okay. Is that really what the Greek says? Is that really what is in Titus? No, That actually isn't what the Greek says at all. They've actually added words that aren't in the original Greek. I won't tell you which one yet. Let's just go through it word by word. Put in mind. Well, that's a particular Greek word that does mean to remember. Recall. Put in your mind. Think back. You know, so that's pretty close to an accurate translation. To be subject, upitasso, meaning to arrange in order or to yield to one's admonitions or advice. That's what it means. It doesn't mean to organize a military troop. It has to do with organize yourself, arrange in an order, according to admonitions or advice. It's not commands or dictates of a tyrant. It is getting along and working out, you know, picking a team, you know, you're going to play softball or touch football. You pick a team leader. He's not bossing everybody around. You pick a leader. He's pretty good. He says, you know, you play this part, you play that part, and everybody kind of goes along. That's organizing in an order according to good, sound advice. Okay. To principalities is from the word arche, which means beginning. It's most often translated beginning at first. It could be principalities, because principality would be the first, like first citizen of the emperor was called Principas, the first citizen. His wife was called Principas Semina, first lady. But it's a more general term. It has to do usually with the origins of something, the beginnings of something. And then it says, and powers. Well, that's the word exousia, which means and rights and liberties. So it says, remind them of the arrangement in the beginning and the liberty that once was. Okay? That's basically what the statement is saying there. The rights, the original rights in the beginning. The way it was in the beginning. In the beginning, you were free souls under God. Then you decided to go under Cain and Nimrod and Lamech and Caesar and Pharaoh. But in the beginning, you were just under God. So that's what he's talking about there. Now, people would say, oh, well, wait a minute. He says, magistrates. You know, we're supposed to be subject to magistrates. The problem is there is no word obey magistrates in the original Greek. There is a word for obey, but there is no word for magistrate. It could mean obey magistrate, but you would have to assume that. We all know what assuming does. That's not a good thing to do, to assume that that's what he's talking about. If you actually look at the word there, piet, archeo, which is the Greek, where is it used elsewhere in the Bible? If you look, it talks about Peter and others in Acts 5:29. And the other answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So there they're not saying obey magistrates. They're saying obey God rather than magistrates who are just men. In Acts 5:32, the word is used to tell us to obey God again and his Holy Spirit. In chapter 27, verse 21. When Paul stood forth and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. The word hearken there is the same word, obey magistrates. And why do they say hearken instead of obey? Well, it's kind of the same thing. Hearken, listen to what I have to say, obey. When we use the word obey, we kind of think of somebody who has the right to boss us and tell us this is what you have to do. But if we go back and look at the original words there, when it says upitasso, it means admonitions and advice, not orders and commands. So does this word, pies archeo, have to do with orders and commands or advice? Does it mean to hearken, to listen? Well, actually, if you look at the word pieso, it means to persuade. It doesn't mean to command. It means to persuade. Why would we think that that means magistrates, who usually aren't trying to convince you that this is what you ought to do? They're trying to tell you what you have to do.
Now, if you really knew your Greek, and many men do really know their Greek, they should be able to read this and know exactly what he's saying. But then if you're translating the Bible for King James, you may not want to say that you don't have to listen to the magistrates. You may want to say you have to listen to the magistrates, because the guys who were saying contrary to that were getting burned at the stake. So, you know, go figure. I mean, you go read the writings of the men who translated the King James Bible, and they tell you how dangerous it was to even do this undertaking. And these were hand-picked 50 scholars by the government. And they wanted you to... I'm not saying that the translation is incorrect, but our interpretation of the translation is incorrect. Because, in fact, Paul was a magistrate. A different kind of magistrate than you're used to. A different kind of judge than you're used to. You have to remember that the word God itself, Theos in the Greek, Elohim in the Hebrew, were terms commonly used to address judges in courts of law, magistrates. Look in your Strong's Concordance if you don't believe me. It's right in there. These are not secrets kept from you. They're only things that you've been too slothful to look up. And your ministers have had they've been brainwashed in their seminaries. Washed to think a certain way. And if you don't think that way, you don't finish the seminary. They filter you out. But you've given too much power to your ministers. They rule over your minds and your thinking. We cannot have that. We have to do something different, completely different. We have to actually start taking responsibility. And those of you who are hearing what I have to say and figuring out that this makes sense, you're doing so by the grace of God. And you need to immediately give that information away to others, or facilitate giving it away to others. Evidently, I'm going to have to buy some radio equipment here so that we can give a better program to you and to others to hear the Word of God. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness on a crummy phone, evidently. So we need to boost our signal here somehow so that the radio station can give you a better show. So you can participate in that. Help us do that. You can join the contact lists of the networks in the local areas and other people in your area. Contact. You haven't even, those of you who are on the network already, don't even know who the other people on the network are in most of the cases, because you haven't taken the time to find out who else is on that network. That is not somebody who cares about others as much as they care about themselves. You have to start reaching out. And that's why we constructed the network the way it is. We also have it so that you have to start getting information from your local contact minister, not from me. I can't be the central command guy here on the network. You're going to have to find one another and start working together, one another, and forming that network. Because as more and more people begin to hear these things, more and more people are going to need to hear more, learn more, talk to other people. Iron sharpens iron. Well, you have to actually get that iron next to each other so that they're actually making contact. That's why we created the network based on geographical location. We don't want you just on email groups spread out all over the world where you have no actual physical contact. We want you to be able to drive to the next guy's house and say, "Hi, I'm on the Living Network. My name is so-and-so. Meet for coffee. Meet for whatever." And guys are doing that. Some are. I'm amazed at the number of people that are on the network that are not doing anything. The number of people that are receiving the Kingdom newsletter who are not on the network. The number of people that receive our articles with News with Views that are going out to tens of thousands of people and don't join the Kingdom News. Yet many of them say, "Oh, they love the articles." You know, we write those articles and we don't get paid for writing those articles. We send those out. That's all labor that we just send out, casting our bread upon the waters to try to bring you the truth that you're not getting from a lot of other sources. A lot of labor intense together than be entertainment. to you. And that's not good enough. You're going to need more than entertainment in the days to come. There are rocks ahead. There are waterfalls ahead. You're caught in the flow of time, and you are wasting it. You need to start working together as a people, finding that alternative government based on faith, hope, and charity called the Kingdom of God. You need to become the elders in your own community. Each of you who are a member of a family, the eldest member of that family needs to become a part of the network and find other elders like himself and come together in congregations and pick titular leaders. The contact ministers are titular leaders. They are just there to help you make contact with others. They are not heads of congregations, but they hopefully will lead to that as they learn to take care of those. It's like the buddy system. And if you don't become those well-disciplined people, now, you go read all of Titus, the first chapter of Titus, very specifically is talking about the character of the people that you're looking for. You know, these people of sound character. It says in Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Peculiar people. Very interesting word. Now, you'll actually find the phrase peculiar people a couple of times in the Bible, but it's not, the peculiar is not always translated from the same Greek word. In this case, it's translated from a particular Greek word that means that which is one's own, belonging to one's possession, a people selected by God from the other nations for his own possession. And that's what he did back then. It's not coming later. It may come again if you repent and turn around and seek the kingdom, because the kingdom's always been here. But you've gone back into the bondage of Egypt. If you don't get together in that network of people, then you don't care about others. You just care about yourself. If you think you're free because you filed your documents and now you're free, or you're hiding out somewhere in Idaho or Missouri or Montana or wherever in your little comfortable little hideaway, and you've got your little local congregation of supporters, and you think you're a part of the kingdom, think again. Because the kingdom is about caring about others. It's about networking together to be there for others. They were so well organized. The union and discipline of the early Christian church was called a viable republic in the heart of the Roman Empire. It was admired by even the Roman emperors like Trajan and Hadrian, who said, leave the Christians alone. Constantine invented a new Christianity. He didn't end persecution, he just altered its course. But real Christianity continued for almost 1,000 years and was stamped out through inquisitions and murderous invasions of military, where a false Christianity began to crown men over other men. Directly opposite of what Christ said. You were not to be like the princes of the other nations, who call themselves benefactors, but exercise authority one over the other. The greatest destruction of Christianity has been the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits, because that is the greatest destroyers of freedom. You need to come together in a network where you can become a benefit for one another. And you need to start doing it now and stop wasting time, because time is running out like sand in an hourglass. You cannot put any of it back unless you turn it upside down. And this world will turn upside down before we're done. There are so many things I could share with you and tell you, but I am not telling you on the radio. I don't put it all out in the Kingdom News List. I haven't even really started putting it out in the Living Network newsletter, which you cannot get unless you become a full partner in the network by picking a contact minister. And there are many things that I won't even put out then. We will only put out at the feast. Like we may have a Passover this year if enough interest is developed. We've got a roast, and we've got lots of meat we could roast. And we'll set up tents, and you can bring tents. And there are some motels around. If you want to have that, get a hold of us. Get on the network. Start organizing it. I'm not going to do it for you. You have to start learning to do these things for yourselves, working together, because there is a lesson to be learned in learning how to work together. You don't need another dictator, another ruler who does everything for you. You need to start doing it yourselves together. And if you don't, Lord help you, because nobody else will be there for you. And I'm not sure that the Lord will help you if you will not help others. And that's what the network is about, learning how to find and help others. Stop being a skeptic. Start coming together. We could get into 1 Peter 2:13, which is the other big verse that everybody throws out. You'll be stunned to find out what they didn't tell you about that. But I'm not going to have the time to get into it today. But we will be on TalkShoe, and everybody on the network knows when. And you'll be able to ask questions. Even if you can't call in, you can ask on the chat room. We have ministers there that will hopefully be monitoring that, and they'll voice your questions. And you can listen online. But you'll have to find out about the schedule only by joining the network, because I'm not going to tell you what it is. So that's to try to encourage you to start reaching out. Start becoming a part of something other than your own little world. Start becoming, gathering together in the name of Christ, caring about one another more than you care about yourself. And learn why 1 Peter 2:13 doesn't mean what they tell you it does. And it's not my word. Don't take my word for it. Just look at the words that are in the original Greek. Because they didn't change that. It's not very much. There are a few places in the Bible where we find that there may have been little tiny errors that can make big differences, but it's not one little thing that they've screwed up. It's so many things that they have twisted by, you know, translators being traitors. And it's there in the text still. I have no problem with saying let every man remain subject to the higher power, as long as you know which definition of power. And then you different definitions for the word power that you find in the English dictionary. And the one that it should be there is the power to choose. The right to choose. So next week we may, if we can get that equipment quick enough, next week we may start our series on Thy Kingdom Come. And we will go through that chapter by chapter. And we will reveal a great deal of the information that nobody will tell you anywhere else. At least I can't find anybody else saying it. When I was back in the Carolinas, somebody came up and said, does anybody else preach this? Because we haven't ever heard anything like this before. Now, they didn't disagree with it. They just want to know if anybody else preached it. And I had to turn to them and say, I hope so. But I haven't found them. I find little bits and pieces. There are people waking up. They're getting little bits and pieces of this. But, I mean, there is a huge volume of information that will shatter. You know, I'm an icon of the cages, the mental cages they have placed you in so that they may maintain you in bondage. And we need to start getting this out on a wider and wider scale because, as I said, time is running out. There will be more time after time runs out, but things will have changed. There are points in times where ages end and new ages begin, and an age is coming to an end. And usually when that happens, it gets rough. But for those who follow the character of Christ, come together, faith, hope, and charity, those Christ will be with. Those who will not do the will of the Father and love one another, they may find themselves cast out as workers of iniquity. False Christians who said, Lord, Lord, but did not ministers. And you'll have to look out amongst yourselves because the seminaries aren't put for any of that. Till we meet again, may peace be upon your heart and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.